Welcome to How Preschool Teachers Do It.
This is Allison Kentos. I am an early childhood educator.
And this is Cindy Terabush. I am an early childhood consultant.
This podcast is for parents and early childhood professionals.
Let our experience and research-based knowledge become your guide.
Hi, preschool peeps.
Hi, peeps.
Welcome to another episode. We especially want to welcome newcomers to our ratings around the world. We want to welcome Portugal. I don't think we've ever mentioned Portugal before.
I don't think
they've been like in the top ratings in the past. So welcome. We're glad to have you. And in the United States, though, I thought we mentioned you before. Allison said we haven't. So we're just going to do it. And that's Maryland. I really thought that we've mentioned Maryland before. But apparently
not
according to Allison.
I don't think so, but I think I would have remembered. I used to live in Maryland for a little while, and I feel like I would have mentioned that on the podcast. I lived in Germantown, so if you're from there, hi. And I also lived in Frederick, so if you're from there, hi. So I feel like I would have mentioned that before. And if I did, it's possible I have. Okay. Sorry that you're hearing it again.
No, we're going. I also have a cousin in Maryland, or who grew up in Maryland. I feel like... Yeah. I would have mentioned that, but apparently we didn't.
Apparently
we
didn't not. Maryland at all. Apparently not. Yes.
All right. Okay. That's fine. So welcome aboard, and we welcome all of our preschool peeps for what I feel is a really important discussion about taking the problems that children have really seriously. You know, so often busy, overwhelmed, overwrought adults forget that the problems that children have may seem very small to us, but they're huge to the children.
Yes.
And when we brush them off, we're not teaching them such great things. And there are so many ways that adults brush off the problems of children. Sometimes adults will just outwardly look at the children and say, oh, that's not such a big deal. What are you making such a big deal about?
Yeah. What are you crying over that for? That's nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Bunch of nothing
to cry over. Yeah.
Right. Or we'll look at children and say, oh, that's no big deal. That happens to everybody. Well, just because something happens to everybody doesn't mean it's not a big deal. You know, a lot of people become, in some period in their lives, become unemployed. Happens to a lot of people. Doesn't make it feel any better than when it happens to you.
It's still a significant problem, you know, it's still a problem for you, you know, just because everybody's going through it does not mean it's not significant or life changing for you and for these children whose lives are only 3 years in the making here. Their problems, like they don't have, you know, for me to say, oh, that happens to everyone. Well, it might be the first time this is happening to them. So it's either scary or a big deal or upsetting or whatever. And yeah, when they're my age, yeah, that's happened 50 times to you. No big deal. But like to them, they've never experienced it before. They don't know how to handle it. It's a big deal.
Yeah, it's a huge deal. Everything is a big deal to them. Yeah. And when we brush it off in any way, however we might do that, intentionally or unintentionally, we teach them a few things that are not so great. You know, we teach them that their feelings are really not valid. There's no reason for them to be feeling what they're feeling. And we teach them that if they're upset about something, we're not going to take it seriously. So why bother coming to the adults? Why bother going to the teachers? And why bother going to the family? Because they, from the time I've been, ever since I can remember, never took the problem seriously.
Right. So then as they get older and something huge happens, they're not going to tell you because you're going to blow it off. And some of those problems you want to hear about, you know, especially as
that's
parents,
for sure.
Think,
when they become,
you know,
teenagers,
like Cindy knows she's raised two boys who went through the teenage years. You want them to tell you stuff. Okay. You want that confidence in, you know, like you want that. And if you have for their whole life said, oh, it's no big deal. It's no big deal. When something big happens, they're not going to tell you. They're going to hold it inward or do something else or tell someone else. And you want to be that person, that safe person that they can go to and say their problems to.
Right. I mean, when we just look at young children and basically say, life's tough, kid. Deal with it.
Deal with it.
They they don't know how to deal with it. And we've invalidated the whole thing because we are not doing what our job is, either as teachers or as people who are raising children. Our job is to support them. That's ultimately what it is. If you break down the whole thing, what are we here for? Teachers are here to support them, support their social emotional development, their skill building, their everything about them. We're here to support families and people who are raising young children. Well, we're here to support them in a variety of ways too. All of that development, all of that social emotional, plus trying to get a roof over their heads and food on the table. We're here to support them as whole human beings. And for some reason, when a young child has a problem that seems trivial to adults, we lose that connection to, oh, I'm here to support. So whatever's going on with you, we're going to take seriously. And it can just be a matter of looking at the children and saying, I know that that hurts.
Yeah.
I know that that's hard. You know, sometimes to look at children and just acknowledge and just say, yeah, that's hard. Yeah. It's hard when that happens. Yeah. Especially the things that are less tangible. For some reason, when a child struggles with literacy or struggles with math and it's really tangible, like I can see it with my eyes, that's something that we hire tutors for, and we get all kinds of things to support. And some of it not even developmentally appropriate, but we
But it's almost like we know how to solve that problem. We'll get a tutor and we'll do this. So it's like, boom, I know how to do that. But when you're dealing with things of like the heart or like the emotions or whatever, people are like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to solve that problem. So let me just brush it under the rug and hopefully we'll just forget about it tomorrow, you know?
And that's, you know, maybe that's the crux of it. We're not even sure what to do, right? We've been hurt. Right. They, let's say their feelings are hurt, and which, by the way, starts happening so young.
So young.
You know, it's somewhere in pre-K that you get children just looking at each other and saying things like, you're not my friend anymore. And they're experimenting with what does it mean to be a friend? What is, you know, what will happen if I say this or that? It's like they experiment with being mean, you know, what's going to happen. For some children, that starts even younger than pre-K, but it's really a pretty common thing in pre-K that they start to hurt each other's feelings and to just look at them and say, well, toughen up, life's rough, kid.
Yeah.
That doesn't help them to learn what to do with those feelings that they're having.
Right. Right. You know what I find so interesting about how we treat children with the big problems, but not adults. So like Cindy and I are friends. We've known each other for many, many years. If she called me one day and said, Allison, I have a problem, there is no way on earth I would say, oh yeah, who cares? Forget about it. Just forget about it. It's no big deal. Oh, it happens to everybody. Don't worry about it. There's no way on earth I would do that to another adult. And yet when a child does that, we're so easy to be like, eh, who cares? No big deal. Move on. You know, pick yourself up, brush yourself off, start all over again. No big deal. Like, and that's, I would never do that to another adult, you know, ever.
So why do you think that is? Why do people do that? Why do you think that is?
Because I think
we wouldn't do it to another adult because we're afraid of conflict.
Or might be afraid of conflict. We might have maybe more compassion for the type of problems that adults have because we've gone through it too, maybe. And I think sometimes, like with children, we as adults know it might not be a big deal, right? Because we've been through it and you know they're going to be fine and they're going to pick up. But to them, it is still a big deal. So I think it's easy for an adult to be like, let me just tell them it's no big deal. And then they'll forget about it because it really isn't a big deal. But here they are crying about it in the corner. Yeah. Like, you know, but I know it's just something minor or something because, but to them, it's a huge deal. Their lives are only 3 or 4 years old. You know what I mean? Like they've only been there for 3 years. They don't know that they're going to get over it. To them, everything is like, could be devastating, you know? Whereas we know they're going to be fine and they are going to be fine, but like, that's not what they want to hear at the time.
you know? I think for adults, you know, our problems to us as an adult, right? Our problems are huge. Our problems are putting the food on the table, the roof over our heads, you know, big adult responsibility problems. And so when a child comes and says, you know, Becky told me I can't come to her birthday party, it seems like, you know, and we know you're going to live through it. You're going to live through that having happened. The question is, how are you going to live through it? Are you going to live through it in a way that helps you to feel secure and confident and validated? Or are you going to live through it in a way that teaches you that your problems don't matter? And that's not that's not okay. Because but how many adults do you know whose problems still don't matter to their parents? Yes. I know
a lot.
I know a few adults whose problems still don't matter to their parents.
But guess what happens? Then as an adult, you don't tell your parents the problems. You find other people. This is what I do. Okay. I'm just going to admit it right now.
Oh my gosh. It's true confessions now on the podcast.
I will not tell my mother my problems because I know it's going to get like, oh, it's no big deal. Just, you know, take a vitamin. You're fine. Kind of thing. Okay.
Take a vitamin. Whatever's wrong with you. Just take a vitamin.
Take a vitamin. You're fine. Yeah. But I did make sure to have a different support system. So, you know, Cindy and I are friends. I will call her out of nowhere. You have to find the other adults that you can do. You might not, but I also have learned how sad that I can't go to my own family for that. You know, but I learned that through the years. I don't want other people to feel that way. Like, I mean, and lucky for me, I did find another support, but not everybody might be that lucky, you know, that I have really great friends that support, you know, so like, but it also, it doesn't feel good to have your mother or father who you think should support you not be as supportive. It's not a good feeling, you know, so.
It's not good, a good feeling from any trusted adults, you know, right? It speaks to why when children in school report bullying, we should take it seriously.
Take it seriously. Yes.
When children report prejudice of any kind being acted out, we need to take it seriously. When young people say things like, you know, the way that they're being treated has to do with the color of their skin or their gender identity or any of those things, folks, that has to be taken very seriously. And I think that for a long time, we've been in systems that don't take it seriously. And that's part of the problem, too. There's this generational thing of we just don't take it seriously if the person is very young.
There's a huge mental health stigma, I think, going on, too. I think that's maybe part of it. And there's also like a gender stigma, I think, too, where people like, oh, you're too young to figure that out. No, I'm pretty sure they have some of that figured out already. You know, so if you take it seriously. But I feel like our generation, Cindy, like did not take those kind of things seriously because some of that stuff's quite new. But mental health was not taken seriously at all. Yeah. Okay.
I think our awareness of the depth at which children can know and feel things is kind of new. You know, generationally, if we were to look back, I don't think past generations really understood how deeply children can feel something. And how that impacts them in the long term. But we know that now. So why do we then carry forward the generational, oh, you'll be fine? That should not be happening. Why do we carry forward, you know, the generational, I don't know, what do you even call it? Like the sort of brushing off or poo-pooing of what children tell you.
The poo-pooing.
That's what we call it in my family.
I think for some adults, they don't want to see their child hurt or upset or anything.
That's true too.
They try to like breeze over it of like, if I don't make a big deal out of it, maybe the child won't see it as a big deal anymore. Right. Like, but then I think it's like counteractive because now it's like, oh, the child's like, well, she doesn't think my problems are real, you know, but I think you're really just trying to smooth over the situation to be like, you know, everything will be fine. And I know she'll be fine because I'm the adult and I've been there, and I don't want to see her upset. So let me just make her happy by saying she's going to be fine, you know, and it's probably all good intentioned, but it's not what your child wants to hear. You know, you want them to feel like you are there for them, no matter what the problem is, even if it is a trivial problem at the time, you know, like, you want them
what
to
you're
feel
saying,
like loved.
But what you're saying,
supported.
Right.
Yeah.
What you're saying brings up this question. How long do we spend on it? Like, what do we tell what do we have our preschool peeps think about? How long do we spend on it? Because there is, don't you think there's a fine line between acknowledging how the child's feeling and feeding what's happening? Yes. I think that there's this
into the issue. Yeah.
This is a, there's a line. And, you know, as a parent, I could tell you sometimes I danced on either side of that line. How much time are we going to spend on this? And maybe those are cues that we have to take from the children.
Yeah.
Right. If the child seems to be hearing what I'm saying a little calmer, a little able to think better, then maybe that's the point at which we say, okay, so let's figure out what to do. Because I think there's this multi-step process. The children have to be able to identify what happened, somehow communicate to you what happened. And then we have to think about what to do with them. What should we do? And not feeling what they're feeling is just not an option. They're going to feel what they feel. So what do we do? What do we do? How do we face this person who hurt our feelings? How, you know, how do we, do we go and we say something to somebody? Do we decide, well, I'm just going to be kind right back at you. You hurt my feelings, but I'm going to be kind right back at you. And that usually ends it. Do we tell children, you know, all right, now this is at a point at which I'm going to step in as the teacher or the person raising you. I need to step in now and do something at a higher level. Like, let's say if a child is being bullied in some way, you know, now the adults are going to step in and help out. And at what point do we do that? I think it's very individual. I don't even know that there's a way to determine it or advice that can be given for everybody. The cues have to come from the child. If the child is in mental agony, then somebody's got to do something.
Right, right. That's almost, that's like at a crisis level. Like, you almost have to take over at that point. But I think all the other, if they're not at that point, the crisis level, I feel like you can give them, here are some of the options of how we can deal with this problem. Yeah. Which do you as the child feel comfortable doing? You know, because it, you shouldn't be making those decisions for them. And they might say, hey, I want to do this solution. And then they go and they do it and it doesn't work. And they come back at you and like, hey, we tried that. It didn't work. All right, let's go to the next step. You know, but let them decide where they want to start with this solution. Because it's, that's how you're going to give them all the tools in their toolbox of how to deal with emotional issues when they're older. You know, is like, here are the, they don't know right now what those solutions might be. But you, if you give them to them, eventually they'll learn like, oh, I could do this, this, this. And I tried this and this, and here's what I'm comfortable doing. They won't know what they're comfortable doing if you say, nope, this is what you got to do. You know, like, there's no choice there, you know? And like, yeah, you're an adult. You kind of know maybe how to solve the problem. Your child might choose a different solution than you would have. That's okay. Let them. It's the only way they're going to learn how to cope, you know?
I wonder if all of this taking them seriously really starts with, you know, that infant falls and is startled and adults laugh. Maybe we shouldn't be laughing at that. Maybe we should just, maybe we should just be offering a hand to get up.
Yes.
And then from there on, that's what we do. It does start back then. We laugh at every time something happens to them.
And now I feel like, now I feel like it's even worse than when we were kids. Like, they would laugh and they, that would be the end of it. Now it's like, let's take a video of you falling. And now it's on social media. And someone, like, it's for you to find 20 years from now. It's for everyone in the world to laugh at. Yeah, it's like a lot.
Valid. So, that's very valid. That's, so, okay, let's start with this then. Let's not put their every issue on social media. It's not the world's business. Right. And from the time they're really young, like that, when they were trying to walk and they fell, instead of kind of laughing and brushing it off, we should reach out our hand so that they can hold it and get it back up. And I think that that's how we have to think of all of it. We reach out our hand and say, I'm here to support you. Let me help you get back up. And that can be back up physically or emotionally. We will help you get back up. That needs to be the focus. And then maybe they will grow up to be adults who will know that they can talk about what happens and they will not be discounted. Right. Perhaps. All right. Perhaps. So, you know, I guess, you know, thinking about how do we put our hands out is what we're going to do as we end this episode. And we also want to remind everybody to find our Facebook page, find our Patreon, go if you're, you know how you sit sometimes mindlessly and just look things up. I know I do. I fall into these online rabbit holes.
Oh, I'm so glad I'm not the only one, because sometimes I really feel like I'm the only one that just sits there and like goes down these rabbit holes of like.
No, I go deep. I go very deep. So listen, preschool peeps, if you're going deep into the rabbit hole, look and see what else we have. Our website, our Facebook, our Patreon. Go into the Cindy and Allison rabbit hole. It's a nice place to be.
It is a nice place.
And we will catch you next time on the podcast, peeps.
Bye, peeps.